glorify you, what you're saying.
Yes, sir, it's a joy, man. We give thanks again, you know? Baller than the dread, red.
Reality meds. And today we want to discuss the real reason drugs are being legalized. As you know, historically, it's been a situation where people who are dependent on mind-altering substances have been criminalized. Mm-hmm. But we notice now in America that it's a situation where it's being legalized, not just marijuana, but hard drugs. Recently, the state of Oregon decriminalized, that is, hard drugs. When they speak about hard drugs, they're focusing on heroin, meth, LSD, Oxycontin, that is, and other hard drugs. And I believe to understand what's being to understand what's being done now, we have to understand what historically what has been America's views on drugs. We're not going back to prohibition or anything, but I really wanted to start with Nixon in 1971 when he started to implement the war on drugs. 1980s crack epidemic, Clinton with the crime bill. But during all these things, they were more focusing on crack cocaine. Crack cocaine that was used predominantly by those of African descent. And when they were struggling with a substance that was provided, historically, if anyone is familiar with what was done and how that was strategically done in that particular area, they were criminalized. You get what I'm saying? To the point of identifying them as super predators, not just the sellers, but the users. But now, when the face of the drug addict has changed, the narrative has changed, you know, and I believe the main reason this has been done is because we can't lock up all white people. You know what I'm saying? It's just the reality. So we can't lock up all white people like we did the brothers. And what I want to discuss is, like, you know, when people speak about the prison industrial complex and criminalizing drug addicts, fire, there are a lot of aspects to it now. It's not the fact of just being locked up, but the destruction of the family. Because remember, when you are incarcerated and come out, you don't qualify for student loans. They just started, they just released, they or a couple of years ago, they stopped the ban on SNAP. SNAP would be your food stamps. You don't qualify for food stamps. Healthcare is kind of tricky. That depends on the state. You definitely don't qualify for Section 8. They say you do, but the way they play the game is most likely if you do have a felon, you don't qualify for Section 8. These are aids that people need if they're struggling financially. And also, I know in particular states and cities, if you are a convicted felon, you cannot live with your own family if they are on Section 8. So a lot of these things have contributed to the destruction of generations of African Americans, and none of these things are being applied to white Americans when the face, as I said, of the whole drug abuse has changed.
Yes, I and I want to tell you, say it's funny. It's like a backfire. Them own plan backfire upon them. You know, hey, you see, originally, if you check it historically, majority of these drugs formulate for, towards a specific group and for a specific reason. Just like you want to talk about the most prevalent one in the modern society right now, which is crack cocaine. If you check levels and the areas then were them introduced to first, primarily, these are all revolutionary areas. If you even check, just say, check California alone, when it introduced to California, all of the regions them chose California were introduced to revolutionary areas who are dealing with black upliftment and are dealing with black struggle. And they introduced that to them for kind of take them off course. But it's like it backfire upon them now where for them own set of people them now get addicted to it. And them get addicted towards the premium one, so to speak. Even though, because majority of them will get involved when I currently still in them, still functional, you know. Because that more until most people, you know, the majority of drug addicts, unlike most people think, you know, are functional, you know. And these are the drug addicts who are in corporations, because majority of the drug addicts are actual workers and employees within corporation to this modern day. So succumbs now, them plan backfire upon them now. And you see them try the different methods. And have to come and criminalize a set of people and make a set of people not benefit from it now. So it's like them actually level back the playing field, you know, because check the level. If majority of African men are the ones being incarcerated, and when them incarcerated now and them get involved in drugs, whether them are the seller or being the addict, now seen, and them can get certain aid now for come back in a society and rehabilitate the right and proper way in a society. Where that gonna lead to? That gonna lead to them take more drugs now, you know, and it gonna lead to the numbers being skewed again. And then take them off of the front lines. It's a whole psychological battle as much as it is a mental battle. You know?
Reality meds fight. I just want to clear one thing. I don't think the people who are really dealing with these drugs here are functional. These people here is because, all right, this is how I always the thing. They're using heroin, they're using fentanyl, and they're using like prescription painkillers, right? Now, any man know about drugs, for you taste heroin, it's a rough road to come back to reality. You know, so these, I don't think this is more a cocaine vibe, or maybe some people struggle with painkillers and could still go to work. These people are full-blown junkies. So we have a full-blown junkie vibe. And
you got two set you have, you know.
You have the functioning.
Yeah.
Because I would even consider the alcoholism as a functioning drug addict. You know, I'm a man that used to drink. I never drink during the day, but I guess I could have been a high-functional alcoholic if you're drinking that, you drink all the time, right? But it's a part of the narrative they try to play the game because they're trying to blame it fully on pharmaceutical companies. Yes, they play a tremendous role. I think they had one. What's the name of the one? I wrote it down. Purdue Pharma. They're the creators of OxyContin. They pled guilty to the corruption of, they have a crazy sales team really pressuring doctors to provide the drug. And they lied saying that the drug wasn't addictive when they knew it was. When they knew the drug was addictive. Now, yes, they contributed to the opioid epidemic, right? But that's a pharmaceutical aspect and other drugs, the fentanyl. But what about the heroin, which a lot of people are speaking about? There's something in American society where people want to escape. There's an aspect about American society, and we're not talking about, we always put the narrative on black people. We're talking about white people. There is something going on in American society where they cannot deal with the pressure and they want to escape, right? And that is the reason that there's such a high use of these drugs. Like, you have different levels of drugs. Now, people may say drugs lead to different drugs, or, you know, I'm not clearly sure of that because I know people who have done stuff for years who haven't transitioned to other things. But there's an aspect because no country consumes drugs like America.
None across the world. You know the funniest part too is like, how would I put it now? When you think about every form of drugs are created, it created in a specific mannerism, you know? It created in a good light, you know. Don't think that any one of these drugs that you see the addicts them use in this modern day, you know, it never created in a negative light, you know. After time, you know, the revelation was there. So for instance, now you have heroin. Heroin is a synthesized type of morphine. See, it's synthesized from morphine. It is created by Bayer in 1898. You see, Bayer pharmaceutical company, who the same company who give you an aspirin for the headache. So more to be careful of this. So years from now, on an aspirin for the headache, it might be an illegal type of drug where get on addicted. But that's on the whole next story. But the whole fact is that When heroin did just come out, it was like this miracle thing in that world, you know. Everybody always see this good part of it. If you have a whole heap of different pain, or if you're addicted to morphine, or you're addicted to codeine, then they would give you heroin and tell us heroin is a change for you now and take it off of the addiction. But look at it now. Heroin is a more addicted form of opioid than even morphine and codeine itself. So if you check how the levels go, them always give you one form of drug for replace a next drug. That's one of the main reasons why the drug addicts them for the most part can be criminals, but them would more be people in the society who get trapped and who get advertised. The same advertisement again, you know, because advertise the pharmaceutical company and the whole systematic structure advertise a new form of drug towards the people, you know. And that's one of the next reasons again to fire away the them cannot be criminals overall, fire, because how can you be a criminal to something that is pushed towards you by a society that you live in, and a society that cannot function without drugs, so to speak. It can't function without drugs, you know. So it's like them push the drugs on you, but it's just about which one you want to take, you know. Do you want to be take an extreme one, or do you want to take one that is not as addictive as the rest? You see me, I say, and do you want to take one that makes you functional as opposed to one that makes you unfunctional? You get to me, I say, it's like a psychological buckle really I go on both there with the system I create.
And fire, my tolerance weak because, all right, before I even get into that, they have a thing called fentanylin. How do you pronounce it? Fentanylin or whatever? It's the F, yeah. It's the F one. I apologize, I'm pronouncing it. Fentanylin. I apologize, I'm pronouncing it wrong. But it's like 100 times stronger than morphine. You get what I'm saying? So I believe, that's the next issue because people are mixing that with the heroin. People are just taking that, and that's why you have this overdose. Now, during the crack era, you had a lot of overdoses. You get what I'm saying? Because crack is highly addictive. But the narrative is different now because the face of the user is different. And it's just blatant. This is a clear demonstration of systemic racism because when the face has changed, the laws have changed. And the narrative has changed. Now it's viewed as a social issue, a medical issue, right? But I thought a drug addict was just a drug addict. In movies, they always put this narrative of the crackhead and this and that, but I don't see them making that same presentation of white people who are struggling with the addiction. It's just addiction. People are struggling with addiction. And I'm glad that they are decriminalizing drugs because, yes, even though it's intended for one particular group, it will help all groups, hopefully. But the damage has been done for over 3-4 decades where families have truly been destroyed. They have fully been destroyed, not just by the drug addiction, but by the judicial system. And when they come out, what are the opportunities within our society when you have that strike against your name?
A reality in a fire, and there I mentioned something about it being a one-sided thing too, because when you say that, it just bring me forward to the marijuana law, or the marijuana act, what they're doing, I think it was 1937, and them come up with a whole narrative, and you know what the narrative was, remember, you know, United States of America, as the way you know them, they made a lot of sales off of marijuana. So that is no secret. They made a lot of sales, legal sales off of marijuana. They benefited from it in a many different ways, financially, towards their building of their capitalistic structure. And then in 1937, when them have the law now, hear what them come now and say? It's being used mostly by black men, and it's making them violent against white women. You know what the worst thing that you could have narrative that you could have come with? So something that make a specific group of people violent against white women. Because you know white women are the whole saints of the world, and they are the ones who need to be only ones who need to be protected, so to speak. When them come with that, you know, that was when them start a whole heap of different clampdown and start use certain things and justification for going at the different communities them were populated by African people and start destroying the people them life all because of that marijuana act, just because them paint that specific narrative. So you think about it now, every time them come with a joke, it always have an agenda for you. And it's not just something where that's created by the people. And as we say, you know, we are burned the joke sellers same way, you know. They don't feel like we're not burning the joke seller. The man who sell a coke or the man who sell any farmer joke, we are burned them, you know. Or we just look upon the issue from a different perspective. So I don't want nobody to feel like, say, we the honest, and what the man them the honest talk about? The man them the honest talk like them a jugs that are them love support jugs thing. But no, we are look from it from a systematic perspective. How it capture the people them from one standpoint, and how it target one specific race of people for the most part, while when the other set of people use these things, them try make it look more like it's a problem, as they say, it's like a medical problem, we need some emergency. And it can't have that connotation to it. How does that them deal with fire? I mean,
the criminal aspect, and it's always been a medical problem. You get what I'm saying? Someone is addicted to a substance that they know already is human beings can't deal with it. They've tested it, they're aware of that, and they understand the consequences. I want to say one last thing before we leave it is that you brought up the whole concept of praising drug dealers, and we as a community have done a great job of praising those who destroyed us, right? the lyrical content, the videos, those who we praise, who we see at school, because you grew up around it. And unfortunately, a lot of times, those are the only people in our area that are doing well financially and have all the trappings of capitalism. So we put them on a pedestal, which is very sick, because these people here have aided in the destruction of the community. So any man that's rapping, that's why I burn a fire on all of them, because any person that can go on publicly and rap. All right. So you have people don't want to hear this, but it's the truth, right? Some people always praise Jay-Z and all these rappers. And I said the destructive force is fire. So there's nothing they can say now, because some people want to speak out against certain things. You've already destroyed a generation. We know the power of music. We know how it influences you. So there's nothing they can do or say to fix what they did.
And I like that, Selena, because most people today say, all right, here I know. If I saw the case, them man make it out, me now, no candles, because start selling some jugs now. And then as soon as me get my way in the rap thing, then me can probably stop, because then we'll be successful in that light. To see me, so it's can not like them
out, you know.
Yeah, they are transition phase. Them are get the youth them towards that, you know. It's not like them are tell the youth themselves ease off of that. Yeah, so or mentally, you know, it are manipulate the youth them same way. So it's like we are the system are destroy we, and we are destroy ourselves. Because if you really think about it, too, in our next point, if you really touch upon, what is jugs? What is jugs really? Can you think about it now? There are a lot of drugstore. Majority of people, when you go to the doctor, what the doctor and you need to fill a prescription, what the doctor send it to? The doctor send it to a drugstore in a fire. So basically, the system of we dependent on drugs, but it's just a matter of which drugs they choose to put in one light and which drugs them choose to put in our next light in a fire. Because by right then, if a man become a drug addict, it has to be systematic, you know. You can't be a drug addict and it not be a systematic thing, you know, no matter how you want to look upon it in a fire. It has to be systematic, because what are drugs? Who created drugs? And where are drugs sold? Where are drugs promoted?
What thing? What fire? We have an open drug market in regards to liquor stores. Liquor exactly. Stores are everywhere, and liquor stores are the biggest drug distributors in America, and it's accepted in the media. It is very hard for you to watch a film, maybe not now, but it's very hard for you to watch a film and not now and not see someone drinking. So you begin to think that these things are the norm. You begin to think that this is a part of society. This is what I'm supposed to. We can't lie. You know, you see it so much, and people are drinking and having a good time, and they maybe once in a while they'll show you the extreme case of abuse, but people don't speak about the realities of this dependency. Yeah, people who drink every single day and they don't see it as an issue. And they don't see the fact that, you know, I need this thing to cope. They don't see it as a coping mechanism. They just see it as, because that's what I grew up around. People drink every day. They drink every evening. But isn't that an issue?
A big, big issue. For you. A big issue, you know? You know, and it's funny how the same system, that's a major issue, you say. It's like, as some little fools around both, you know. Because check levels, if they talk about the prohibition era early, and you have so much different things to talk about. The same way, like when some man has shipping some keys a coke now. You have man who are shipping liquor them time, the way that them was the criminal, them was the gangster who was shipping the liquor. And now check levels now. The system legalize it. Them legalize the same thing. So you don't even surprise if you look and see all the same. Crack and cocaine and them thing they legalized. Because really and truly,
what do you mean? You see it. You see Oregon just passed. That's what they passed. Yes. Heroin, you can have a small amount of heroin right. And be okay and all these all drugs. Right. LSD all right. And all these things. It's definitely a double standard. It's definitely a situation where, you know, since the face has changed, the narrative has changed. And the sad part is destruction has already been done. You know, we could have had a better society, and it's systematic. I can't even say we could have, because they did what they wanted to do, right? And we played into the game. But I ask that the brothers and sisters that it's just rough out there, you know, and we have to find different coping mechanisms, because the drugs thing don't work.
Yes, I. And it I really work. Want, I'm talking about drugs, Steve, before we even finish the reason to. I want to encourage our full courage everybody first to check out COINTELPRO. So yes, when I check out COINTELPRO, and you check out how the US government introduced drugs towards the black community so they could stop black revolutionaries from revolting, and so they could them could have put a whole heap of black revolutionaries in the prison industrial complex. we really want that and go check out COINTELPRO and the effects of the drugs that them introduced to INI people and see how it still affect with today. May I tell you that?
Reality medicine fire. We give thanks for the reasoning. Same way, give thanks for the support, Ballhead and the Red Podcast. We give thanks. Seriously.